Check yourself before you mess yourself. This is Aviator Cast, episode 118.
Calling all aviators, you've landed at Aviator Cast, the top podcast resource for interviews, refreshers, lessons, training topics, and more. Join weekly and share in our passion for flying things, exploring the rare air through flight. And now, another episode. Pre-flight complete, fuel on board, and flight plan filed. Let's kick the tires and light the fires. Here's your host, Chris Palmer.
Welcome, 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 aviators. You've landed at Aviator Cast. My name is Chris Palmer. To be an aviator is to be honest with oneself, to know your own physical and mental limitations in addition to the limitations of the airplane. From the hazardous attitudes to the I'm safe checklist, the airplane isn't the only component that needs to be airworthy. We need to check ourselves to make sure we're airworthy. We need to be honest about our ability to perform the duties required. If we strive to be the best we that we can be, then we can have a greater opportunity to excel at the task of being a quality aviator. So that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. The I'm safe checklist. How to evaluate yourself before each and every flight as to ensure your own personal airworthiness. Make sure that you are ready to go. Truth be told, there are just times we shouldn't be flying for mental, physical, or emotional reasons. That's what being human is all about. So welcome to this, the 118th episode of Aviator Cast. It is my pleasure to have you here. Of course, Aviator Cast is a spot where you can come for some training topics like this. We also have interviews from different people around the industry and just a wide variety of different ways that you can stay connected and engaged in aviation, no matter what level you're at, from the student pilot all the way up to the experienced aviator. That's what I do here on the podcast. Aviator Cast is brought to you by Aviator Training, offering online ground school. Get the free downloadable private pilot action plan, 5 things to do before your first flight lesson. Sign up today at aviatortraining.com. So for those of you that are returning to the podcast, you know that on every episode, I read a review from one of you on the show. You get your name out there. And in addition, I will send you an Aviator Cast t-shirt for leaving that review. So go review on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, etc. Leave a review on this show, and then I will read that review on the show. And if you hear your name, all that sort of stuff, then I will put you on the list to get a t-shirt, an Aviator Cast t-shirt. So this review today comes from Sox Esquire. I don't really know the name here, but S-O-K-S-E-S-Q from the USA, reinvigorating my love for aviation. iTunes suggested this as a podcast I might like, and that was no mistake. Chris Palmer obviously has a passion for what he does and wants to pass that on to others. In my early 20s, I put in about 15 hours in a 172 before I couldn't afford it anymore. Now I'm in my 40s and seriously thinking about getting back in the game and getting my PPL. The archive of past podcasts is a great resource. I went straight to the one about picking a flight instructor. Then I listened to the interview with Rod Machado. The idea of finding a flight instructor who is an educator really rings true. Chris's tips about finding the key, engine, and fuel is a great analogy. I'm subscribed to the podcast and I'm looking forward to hearing more. So I really appreciate your review. I wish I knew your first name. Good luck on connecting back to aviation here. You know, this is a common story. There's that window of opportunity when you're young to get into aviation. A lot of people get started and then family life and stuff just happens. That's life. And then later on, when you start to get your time back on your side and a disposable income, then getting your PPL becomes realistic again. So it's a common thing, the position you're in. I encourage you to keep going, keep taking the next step, connecting to a podcast like this and other podcasts and getting back in the ground school, all sorts of things is a great thing to do. Just keep taking that next step. And of course, write me at aviatorcast.com, whoever you are, and I'll get you lined up with that Aviator Cast t-shirt. So I had the opportunity recently from the last time I did a podcast to go to AirVenture 2018. Now, this is something that many, many other people did. They said that there were 600,000 people there over the week, and it was just a fantastic time to be at the air show and enjoy friends, enjoy the airplanes, go see some of the vendors, but really ended up just being a great time to reconnect with people. This year was a little bit different in that I stayed in camping rather than going off campus, off the airport in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, to stay somewhere. So I stayed in the North 40 with my good friend Cameron Sun, and we just had a blast. It was a really good time to be in a tent right next to the airplane, get woken up by the airplanes every morning. He made it really nice and comfortable. He had some really great gear. So I just had probably one of my best air ventures ever with staying with my buddies there. So we had a great time. And in the background here, you're going to be able to see a little bit of a video while I'm talking. So this is a preview of a video that I did on YouTube. So I often do these YouTube videos that are more flying experiences, what it's like to be a pilot, everyday experiences. So I did one on I did one on AirVenture, and you can go and check that out at the link available, as you'll see here in the video. So I will put that in the video after I'm done broadcasting live here. And you guys can go check out, from my perspective, what AirVenture was like. Of course, this was just one of many perspectives. You know, one of the coolest things I got to do at AirVenture is I got to fly on an airplane called That's All Brother. And That's All Brother was the first C-47 or transport that went into D-Day during Normandy. And it was found recently, several years ago. They completely restored it. And as media, I got to fly on That's All Brother and experience that piece of history. Now, that was to promote what's called the D-Day to Normandy group. They're going there next year for the 75th anniversary of D-Day to reenact the parajump into Normandy. And so if you go to ddaysquadron.org, you can find more out about it there. I'll also put that in the link. And we'll be talking to some of those folks later on down the road. I'm hoping the pilot of That's All Brother, one of the pilots that knows how to fly That's All Brother, and also some of the people that are putting on that reenactment, we'll be talking to them on a later podcast. So that is what it is all about. We are now going to get into the program. So a quick little bumper here, and then we'll get into the I'm Safe checklist. All right, so we are going to get into the I'm Safe checklist now. So the I'm Safe checklist is essentially this checklist that we as pilots use before we go on a flight. Now, as you get experienced as a pilot, the more and more you go down the road, it's really just something that you're constantly evaluating in the back of your mind and something that you're continually working toward. So you'll see that there are some really critical items here. There are some items that aren't as critical. And it's just, it's one of those things that you just have to always be on top of, because we always, of course, want to be safe pilots. So, of course, it's an acronym. I'm going to go through it now. I'm going to go through one by one, talk about it a little bit. This isn't going to be a lengthy podcast like we usually have. Just a quick reminder that, hey, the I'm Safe checklist is really important and you should be doing it every time, and really making sure that you are safe when you go flying. So the first one we come to is, we come to illness in I'm Safe. So let me just bring that up here. So illness is an interesting one. Of course, we know that whenever we're sick, we're really not ourselves, and we tend to just be a little bit spacey, slow to judgment, not quite in our right space. So not only can we have kind of a head cold that makes us a little cloudy, but we can also have sinus infections that can have issues with altitude. And overall just impairs our judgment, slows everything down, can make things uncomfortable. And then some of the other things that add on to illness can be even more of an issue, as you're going to see. So usually you're not going to have an issue with just one of these items in the I'm Safe checklist. Of course, any one of them, if they're severe enough, can preclude you from flying. However, you'll notice that with illness, it's going to cascade into some other issues that we're going to have. So think about if you're sick right now, if you're getting a cold and you're going on a long trip in your airplane and you think that could become an issue, thinking ahead a little bit there. Were you sick several days ago? Are you still recovering from that process? And then what kind of sickness is it? Is it just a little bit of a cold, or is it, again, that sinus infection or something else that's really impairing you? There are, of course, things that are just no-go. Doesn't make sense to go flying. So just think of that. You know, there are even options when you are employed to fly that say, hey, you're not fit to fly. That's a thing. So just keep that in mind with illness. So then we get into medication. You can see that this is going to move pretty fast here today. Medication. So I was talking about with illness that it can cascade down into some other things. So imagine that you've been sick and now you're going to medicate yourself to get over that sickness. Of course, there are a lot of things that, you know, aren't really going to affect you too terribly. Say cough drops or you know, some nose sprays or something like that. But even as you start to get into the Dayquils and the NyQuils, you start already getting into some issues there with medication, because of course those sorts of medications have alcohol. They have the drowsiness factor to those medications. So there are things that you can even get over the counter which are imperative to you flying. Of course, there are medications that are just not allowed by the FAA. So also think about perhaps if you are on a new medical or a new medication that you hadn't previously talked about when you did your FAA medical that could change things, or that is on the do not fly list for FAA medications. They do have a list of those on their website. Then that's something that you consider. I would think that's one that's a little bit more rare, because if you are taking new medication, is probably going to come with some sort of other medical event that happened. And I would assume that you would be evaluating yourself even more in that case, saying, hey, I just had this big medical event and now I'm going to be drawing myself back and thinking about this a little bit more. So again, it's a domino effect, just like everything. You know, just as with illness, any medications that are slowing your judgment are ones that you want to be aware of. And those with alcohol, of course. You know, when I have a cold myself and it's nighttime, I like to take NyQuil. It's my preferred medication of choice. I would not take NyQuil and then go flying. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. It makes me drowsy and tired and sleepy. And yeah, it maybe kicks the illness's butt overnight, but it is not good for me to be in that zone with that sort of medication. So definitely think about that. Now, the FAA actually does have some guidelines, some overarching guidelines on drugs. And so I would consider drugs to be something that fits within the medication realm. So in 9117, they talk about those things that could impair us. This is the regulation for alcohol, but it also has a one-liner here about drugs. It says, while using any drug that affects the person's faculties in any way contrary to safety. So if you think about with the FAA, a lot of what they often talk about is very specific. They want specific numbers on the type of experience you get and what they require from you. But when they say something like this, which is fairly vague, while using any drug that affects the person's faculties in any way contrary to safety, you know that it could be a pretty low level over the counter thing that they could determine you would break this regulation on. So think about that. That's from a legal standpoint, outside of just being a smart pilot and doing the right thing and preventing yourself from flying. They could put action against you if you were to step over the line here with some sort of medication, even one that's over the counter. So of course that's going to include narcotics as well in this. Okay, so that is medication. This next one, I think, is probably the most common one that we face on a day-to-day basis, and that is stress. So, of course, all of us have stress that we're dealing with from day-to-day. We have work stress, family stress, stress with friends. We just have things that are constantly on our mind, things that are constantly working against us. And I would say that for the most part, this is more of an emotional thing than anything else. You know, are you thinking too much about work? Are you thinking too much about family? Did you have some really bad things that happen with friends or in a relationship that are just completely taxing your mind? If you think about it from the perspective of your inability to think clearly because so much of what you're thinking about is some emotional or stressful event, then that is a time you want to be really careful about the stress in the I Am Safe checklist. You know, of course, I personally think that there are times where flying can be a stress reliever. And some of this normal everyday stress is, it's really nice to go up and kind of forget about everything and fly for a little bit. But it's when that stress can get too intense and life-altering events and your job just isn't going well or you just lost your job. Those stressful events, you should not be flying. So just think about those sorts of things. We had a couple accidents this last week, both intentional, that one could be chalked up to mental illness and the other one could be chalked up maybe to mental illness, but it could have had to do a lot with the stress. So one of them was the now famous baggage handler that hijacked or took, or I'm not even sure what synonym they're using for it, but took the Q400 from Seattle and went on a joyride. Okay. So I'm not sure if stress of life really got to him. It seemed like it was more of a mental illness thing, but through some of his language, it did sound like his work was pretty stressful. He talked about minimum wage over the radio. So that could have something to do with it. Now, there was another accident where someone went and took their company airplane and flew it into his family's house. This happened in Utah several days ago, and he had a domestic violence disturbance several days before, went to jail, got out on bail, and then flew a small jet into his family's house. So, I mean, I think that borders on mental illness. I guess we'll never know. But there's obviously some huge family stress going on there and some other stress as well, where he shouldn't have been anywhere near an airplane. Now, this sort of stress we're also going to be talking about later in the last letter in the acronym, and you'll see what that's about as well. Okay, so that is the stress in I'm Safe. Now we get to A for alcohol. So I talked about how some of the other parts of this acronym were, you know, maybe okay if you didn't do anything. This is the one or one of the few where just right out the gate, you're precluded from flying. This will prevent you from flying right away. So they call this bottle the throttle. Of course, we have the rules that are applicable to this alcohol rule. For example, I'm reading here in the regulation, no person may act or attempt to act as a crew member, attempt. So if they see you out pre-flighting the airplane, but you're doing it for the next day, but you're drunk, that could be an issue. As a crew member of a civil aircraft within 8 hours after the consumption of alcohol, while under the influence of alcohol, while using any drug that affects the person's faculties, we talked about that, contrary to safety, while having alcohol concentration of 0.04 or greater in the blood or breath specimen. And then they go into some specifics here about what that means. However, they have this part in subsection 2 here that says while under the influence of alcohol. So regardless of what your blood content says, regardless of the test, they could just say you were under the influence. Of course, if that's what the authority said, and you would be in big trouble. So this is just one of those that you do not mess with. It could really just ruin everything. It's one thing to go up if you have a cold and you're a little stuffy, even if it's an intense cold and you end up getting some sinus issues in your flight. In that case, no one's gonna have action against you, okay? But this is a situation where you could have everything taken away from you, all of your licenses for operating a civil aircraft. So it's just not worth the risk, in other words. So I'm not a consumer of alcohol. This is something I realize that most people are. So this is something that you definitely need to watch out for. You need to think ahead on and just be really diligent in making sure that you check yourself before you go and fly. And it might be embarrassing. Who cares? Just make sure that you're safe on that one. Okay. All right. Now we get into the F, which is fatigue and food. So I think this is kind of a funny one because food is something you wouldn't really usually think about. But I myself, I get fairly hangry if I don't eat. And then, of course, fatigue is no laughing matter. It's something that can get all of us. So, you know, we all know that there are those times where when we're tired, even if we're a little tired, our judgment is slowed or affected. There were a couple weeks ago, I was with a student. We were flying into an airport to go camping at night. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. It was midnight and still light outside. And so we were approaching this airport and we had this really wonky, weird approach to the airport. We didn't quite set up right in the pattern, ended up doing like a figure eight to come down and land. And I just said, hey, I don't know what your decisions were there. I don't really know what's going on, but I'm pretty sure that's because it's late. We're tired and we're a little loopy. We weren't necessarily like super tired. We're actually kind of energized because it's such a beautiful flight, but it was still affecting our judgment. So being fatigued is an issue, even if it's just a little bit. Of course, we push through that sometimes. This isn't one that really prevents you totally from flying if you're just a little tired. You know, we can be a little tired and still fly. We can even be pretty tired and still fly. But there are times when if you keep pushing that and keep going and going and going, especially if it's days over days, you can really run into some issues. You know, this is a reason why in the airlines and in some other situations, they have duty times for pilots because over time, your body just wears down and, you know, you have that short-term window of just a day, but if you're doing that day after day, it can really impair your judgment to be able to make good decisions. So just keep in mind that fatigue is one that can be an issue. There are even people that have fallen asleep at the yoke, as it were, instead of the wheel. So just be aware of that fatigue can be an issue. Watch out for yourself. This is something kind of like alcohol and medication. You have to think about ahead of time, like the night before or 2 days before. So keep that in mind and stay on top of your rest. And then food. I've noticed that pilots tend to live out of vending machines. You know, we fly from place to place. We don't plan very well for the food component of all this because we have so many other things that we're working on, flight planning and otherwise, that we just forget about the food part of it. Of course, there's a connection to aviation, which is flying just for the sake of getting food, like a $100 hamburger. It seems like that's always a goal of mine is, okay, we're flying. Now, what are we going to eat after we land, eat, sleep, and fly? But there are times when you're just in the zone, you're working hard, whatever it is, that you don't eat very well. So make sure that you're nourishing yourself that way. Like I told you, I get hangry. Think about taking snacks with you, you know, having some beef jerky and nuts that you can just eat in flight is a great idea. Something that's portable and can work pretty well. And then, leave yourself enough room on your layovers or your stops where you have some time to go and get a meal and just take a break, even just a mental break, to rest a little bit. You know, that goes back to even fatigue in this case, but that can help you out a whole lot. All right. So now we get into the E, which is external pressures. And, you know, this is a big one because I think people underestimate just how big of a deal this is. You know, I think that when we look at all of these together and the things that could prevent us from going and the things that do prevent us from going, this is one of those where it's one of the most important times, I'd say, after say alcohol, that we just need to shut it down and not go. But it's also one of those that it's pretty easy to just overlook that and push it and use get there-itis, as we call it. So external pressures, that would be, like I said, get there-itis, someone pushing you to be somewhere, you pushing yourself to be somewhere. And there are different levels of external pressure. So there's the pressure of your boss asking you to do something, hopefully not asking you to do something unsafe, but there's that external pressure, which goes down in the family and jobs and everything, to the even bigger events like flying to a graduation, or there's a death in the family, or a business meeting that you absolutely have to be to. So I found that when I am in an absolute 100% have to be there situation, then I really watch myself on this external pressures section, because I think we can easily look past this and we can say, okay, you know, I want to get there. I want to go. I have to get there. And then we start to muddy our decision-making on everything else to convince ourselves that it's okay to go. That's when people push weather. That's when they push all sorts of different things that just get them into situations that aren't good. So external pressures are things you just want to shut down. Now, I've had times where I've shut down a flight or flying for simple reasons of needing to be to a written test, and that was my only opportunity. So I wanted to kind of guarantee myself that I could be there. So I drove instead of flew an airplane. Of course, you try to maybe fly the night before, right? Instead of the day of. And so if you couldn't complete your flight, then you could drive, but that's not always the case. So in other words, when it's a situation where I have no choice but to be there, I have to be there, I'm obligated to be there, and I can't reschedule, whatever it is, I really reevaluate my flight and if I really need to fly, actually, and just kind of keep it a luxury rather than a must. I just know that I'm human and I can make those sorts of mistakes where I'm pushing myself too much to do something and I just don't think that's the right thing to do. So keep those external pressures in mind. You know, those situations are going to be different for you. You're going to know when they come up. They're going to be things where you're convincing yourself that you have to go, that you have to go by airplane. The longer you look at the weather, the better it looks, even though it may be worsening. So just be really honest with yourself in those sorts of situations. So now we want to bring it all together. We want to find out what to do with all of these I'm safe checklists. So, of course, I mentioned that any one of these doesn't necessarily stop you. Of course, alcohol and medication can and usually will. Maybe not so much in the case of medication, but definitely in the alcohol sense, it's just kind of a no-go. But, you know, if you're a little sick and you're a little tired, may not be a big deal to go and do a one-hour flight, okay? Not going to be the end of the world. So you just have to be honest about the severity of what those things are, if you can and can't do them, and what that ends up being. Now, it ends up being the combination of several of those and the severity of those that ends up being an issue. So you're sick. You just took some medication and you're tired because you've been sick for a few days and you have to get to this meeting for your business that, you know, could really put you over the edge and help you out with meeting your deadlines for this month. Now you got a problem, okay? First off, maybe you're not even so clear-minded for your meeting, but I would definitely say that now you're getting in the zone of not being able to fly. So again, it's the combination. You got to think about the combination of these or those things that are just stopping you all together. And you got to be honest with yourself. What kind of outcomes could happen by continuing forward? What if you keep pushing and you get more tired? What if you get more sick? What if the weather closes in around you at this intense time when really you can't handle so much because you are more in a reduced mental state? So you got to plan ahead and think about where this stuff is going to lead. You got to think about if you should really stay up late at night with friends and play video games or watch a movie, or if your kids kept you up late last night or whatever it was, if it's really smart to fly the next day, or maybe you decide, hey, I need a little help here. A, I'm going to turn my friends down, or in the case of having a family, I'm going to ask my wife to pick up a little bit more of the extra load, or your significant other, whatever that is. And, you know, just kind of building in your favor, thinking ahead of time how your I'm safe checklist may be affected if this keeps going down this road. So if you don't do that, then you're going to at times box yourself in a corner where you didn't think about the night before that staying up late was going to affect you so much. And now it's the day of, and you're required to make this flight. Maybe it's even for an employer. You're tired. You're a little sick. Maybe you had a drink last night. I mean, gosh, things can really cascade down if you're not careful here. Okay. So just preparing ahead of time, it's really key, making sure that you are good, that you are safe. And if all else fails and you just decide that I am not safe, then it's great to just do the safe thing and don't fly that day or don't fly that flight. So think about those things. Those are good things, or things that good aviators do, is we think about our own airworthiness rather than just the airworthiness of the airplane. I think a good aviator is humble in recognizing that these things can affect them and their ability to be good pilots and good aviators and produce that good airmanship. So that is the I'm safe checklist. Now we are going to have a little closing thoughts here and then get into the final thoughts of the program.
Join us next week for another exciting topic or interview with a great guest. All AviatorCast resources can be found at aviatorcast.com. Subscribe to AviatorCast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, and other podcast services. Did you enjoy the show? Review AviatorCast on iTunes or similar service. If your review is aired on the show, we'll send you an official AviatorCast t-shirt. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Write AviatorCast at me@aviatorcast.com to introduce yourself or to ask any questions you may have about aviation. Now, for the final release clearance, back to Chris Palmer.
All right, don't forget that we offer online ground school for private pilot. We've got an upcoming ground school for instrument and commercial as well. This is a neat class where I do things live. If you're not around for a live class, of course, you can get in on the classes that we have recorded. And if you like my style, if you like what I do in depth and applicable to the real world, that's really what I try to focus on, then you'll enjoy this course. You can go over to aviatortraining.com. And if you ever have any questions, just feel free to write me there or here. Just ask me any questions you have about the process. I'd be happy to help you out there. So it's always a pleasure to be here for AviatorCast. You know, I really couldn't do without the community. I really got a big bump by Oshkosh. And right before that, I had a student get his private pilot, like literally minutes before I had to rush to Anchorage. And I drove. I had to rush to Anchorage and catch a flight there and then head down to Oshkosh. So it's been a rapid summer. I feel great about what I'm learning and how I'm progressing and hope that I can pass little bits of knowledge off to you. You can always see what I do here on AviatorCast. You can check out the Angle of Attack show. One of the best places to stay connected with me where I'm the most active is on Instagram, Angle of Attack. You can find me there. And I just encourage you in your journey in aviation to keep taking the next step, keep engaged. You know, this is not an easy hobby, even if you go down to the hobby route. I think a lot of us take it much more serious than that. But this is not an easy hobby to stay active in. There are a lot of requirements. There are a lot of dollars involved in just staying legal and active here. So I encourage you to keep going down that road. Keep up the good work. I think So many of you guys are awesome. I hear so many great stories of you guys progressing. And I just love to see that hard work. There's really no other way to do it. So if there's anything I can do to help you along in your journey, whether that's being a part of my ground school or just answering a question through an email, don't hesitate to reach out. I just think all of you are awesome. So until next time, throttle on.